Everyone, welcome to the American Journal. We're excited that you're all joining us today. A lot going on this Thanksgiving. We have obviously pre-taped this for you, but we've got a lot to dive into. We're highlighting some of our very important interviews for you today, and we appreciate you being here. We're also thankful for our audience. As many of you guys know, it's been quite the uphill battle regarding the lawfare attempts to shut down InfoWars. And because of all of you at home, we are still on air and still able to broadcast because you have supported us. So we're very thankful, of course, for that. But I hope today, if you get the opportunity to go back and to enjoy Thanksgiving and enjoy some good Thanksgiving food, that you do just that. Let me just tell you how I prep my turkey. I think that's probably why you're all here in the first place. But there's a little secret to making an incredible turkey. As many of you guys probably know, turkey's not the most delicious item out there. Most say it's a little dry, but when I cook a turkey, I inject it with a lot of good stuff. I'm talking about wine. If you haven't done it already, you probably should do this for your next Thanksgiving dish. I will get myself a good, I don't know, it's a big size bird. And I will plump it up with white wine. You want to make sure no sulfates, of course. But inject that bird about a couple of hours before you put it in the oven. Prior, though, you're going to want to brine your turkey. I know I do with salt. I'm a big truffle girl, so it's usually black truffle salt. And then obviously all of your other seasonings, your onion powder, your garlic powder, your black pepper, paprika, and a little bit of, you know, white wine injected into that bird. And you will notice, especially after you stuff it, you will notice that this will probably be the juiciest turkey you've ever had. And just remember, Brianna was the one that told it to you. And if you don't like turkey, like most people, Jesse Kelly, I know Jesse Kelly, my good friend, who obviously hosts an incredible radio show. Jesse is not a fan of turkey and he's had enough of all of this. Jesse's always telling Americans to ditch the turkey, stop doing this. Nobody likes it. So if you're one of those, my other dish that I love to make on Thanksgiving is a rib roast. I talk about this all the time. The holidays is the best time to stock up on rib roast. You could get a good sale usually around this time of year. This time actually in Easter, because Catholics love themselves a good rib roast. But I wanted to tell you about that too. Rib roasts are great. Right now, I believe if you're in Texas, Kroger's is a good one. It's good pricing. But listen here, this is what you're going to do. You're going to go pick yourself up a rib roast when you can. And I stuff mine with garlic. Obviously, I do stuff my meat with a lot. So this is going to be stuffed garlic. You're going to take a knife, you're going to make the little marks, and you're going to put the garlic in there. You're going to leave that overnight when you salt the outside of it too, with a lot of, you could do whatever kind of coarse salt you like. And you leave it overnight to brine. Brining is key. It is key. I learned that from a lot of experts over the years. So you're going to brine your rib roast. And then you're going to season it the next day before you put it in the oven. And you slow cook it. It depends on how much you got. Okay? Don't ask me for time. But slow cook it on about like 300 degrees. Mine usually, I believe it's about 4 pounds usually. And it takes about 2.5 hours to get about medium rare. But you're going to need a thermometer for that. Don't take my word on it. But anyways, if you've done it all and you've done it properly, and you also put water at the base of the tray, because obviously you're going to have this on a rack when you're cooking it. You've got yourself some great drippings that you could put on it, but only also, actually, don't even put it on it. Save it. You could use that. When you cut off your bone, you make yourself a good French onion soup. Okay. That's my cooking seminar here for you guys today. We got a jam-packed program, though, heading over your way. Madison Cawthorn is one of the incredible interviews we did on this show. We're going to play it for you. We also have Chad Prather. I know that was a big one. A lot of you guys were really excited to see our interview with Prather. We're going to be re-airing that because Prather does a lot in regards to Christians holding the line when it comes to the House of Cards falling. And it was a great discussion we had with him. Also, Steve Baker. We're going to play that interview because Steve Baker did a great job at outlining the SIM card farms. If you haven't heard that interview, this is a great one. So stay put. We also have another great round of interviews coming your way with a couple of congressmen as well. So don't go anywhere. We've got plenty to discuss here on your Thanksgiving, and we look forward to doing just that.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
I am not funded by billionaires. I'm not funded by anybody but you. And I am in the middle of a major deep state battle with the globalists. We have shortfalls, and we need your support. So just go get a T-shirt, go get a ball cap, get the ultramethylene blue, get the Irish sea moss. And so you just commit to support us. Sign up for auto ship, get 50% off. You need canceling time. It's not like a full commitment, like you marry somebody. You can just subscribe to it, or order it once. When you get it and love it, go subscribe. And then canceling time for free. But that way you get it every month or every 2 months, however you set it. And then you just boom, 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 you support us. That way you don't have to worry about it each time. I need people to commit to this fight like 1/100th what I've committed. I'm not bitching, but we're changing the world.
Thanksgiving, everyone. Welcome to the American Journal. We are excited that you're all joining us today. A lot to discuss on this Thanksgiving. We're excited that you're with us, of course. We're going to be doing our best of segments throughout today's show. And so there's a lot that I want to make sure we dive into, because we broke a lot of stories on the American Journal. And I'm excited to outline that for you today. But before we get into that, let me just remind you, over at thealexjonesstore.com, we have so many incredible items on sale right now. And we're kicking off, obviously, our Black Friday sales. It's buy one, get one free on all supplements. Now, that's, of course, while supplies last. And every time you make a purchase over at thealexjonesstore.com, well, you enter to possibly win an awesome vehicle as well as cash potentially. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. And if that didn't win you over, let me just throw this one in there for you as well. You also are going to get 25% off all apparel. Now, again, that's only going to last for a couple more hours. So you got to head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. They have so many incredible hoodies that you might want to go check out right now. They make great Christmas gifts as well. I know, because I just got some of my Christmas shopping done a little sooner, of course, because I plan ahead. I just grabbed for myself, at least, that Christmas sweater. It is great. It is the great way to bring it to, well, first off, wear it to your holiday get dinners, Christmas specifically. It's going to trigger those who are on the left in your family. I've got a couple of those. And my parents always say, my mom always says, don't talk about politics. Don't talk about politics when you're at dinner table. But I usually find that it's a great way to open up the discussion. And then me and my dad will go after our liberal relatives. So if you want to do the same and you want to make everyone feel very uncomfortable at the dinner table, Christmas, Thanksgiving, whatever it is, you guys, head on over right now, alexjonesstore.com, and stock up the ugly Christmas sweater. But I think it's actually very good looking, so I don't think I'd flag that as an ugly Christmas sweater. Again, folks, that's the alexjonesstore.com. All right. I wanted to get into this Madison Cawthorn interview that we did earlier this year, because this one's important. You know, Madison, as many of you guys know, was kicked out of Congress. And it was really heartbreaking to see, because he was a fighter, pushing, obviously, the MAGA agenda. And he was somebody who was young and very outspoken. And it was very sad to see. But he's trying to fight his way back into Congress. And I was very excited to hear from members of his team that he was going to be running in Florida for Congress. Now, with Byron Donalds running for governor, this opened up the seats. And now Madison Cawthorn is looking to take on that fight. And so we had him on the show, not only to just discuss the obvious, right? Like, what are you doing? How are you going to run? He's got that all. But we wanted to talk more so about election integrity. Because, folks, blue states have been piling up and trying their very best to take away our voices, American voices. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, with the census, they've been counting illegal aliens to try to extract as many House seats as they can, and then taking that away from you, all at home. So Madison Cawthorn joined me to kind of just blow the lid on how this is affecting Florida voters. Florida is obviously somewhere where they're having a lot of illegal aliens. They've done their best on a state level to try to get rid of and purge these people. But again, this has been a long, ongoing issue. Madison's going to walk us through what he's uncovered in regards to how the census operation is disenfranchising American voters. And that's an important one. Now, you might recall just a couple of days ago, President Trump did go to Truth Social and he did post that the election fraud issue is by far one of his top priorities. But the Republicans, both in the Senate and the House, have not echoed the same concerns. Now, again, this is deeply, deeply concerning. And here in the state of Texas, well, it's been a back and forth battle. They're trying to redraw the congressional maps here, and thankfully so. But most importantly, they are dealing with these left-wing hacks that are challenging that decision and doing their very best to stop Texas from counting fairly Texans' votes. See, they've been pushing back on all of this, and the courts have been hearing all of their cases. There was just recently that three-judge panel that did rule against Republicans because of, you know, maybe you heard his name, Greg Abbott, the guy who's supposed to be our governor. Well, he has not been doing much to further the Republican conservative agenda. And apparently he did instruct those who were drawing the congressional maps to go race-based, which is obviously not going to work out well with judges. And that is the reason why they ruled against Republicans. But this is an ongoing battle in Texas, and it's one that's ongoing in the state of Florida as well. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has pushed for this, and long story short, well, we're still waiting to see if the rhinos get in line. So I want you to take a listen to my interview with Cawthorn. Let's turn to this. I think this is important. I don't think a lot of people are talking about it, but I come from the state of Florida, and I was there front and center when I saw that the census, the 2020 census, was kind of stealing Florida residents, their voices. Ultimately, what was happening was blue states were counting individuals onto their census that shouldn't have been counted in the first place. Now, there was many, many ways that they were inflating the numbers. And obviously, President Trump tried his very best to prevent all of this by requiring it to only count American citizens. But it was a legal battle that those on the left really wanted to draw out. And so now we're kind of learning about the details as to how far those on the left went to steal seats, especially in our House, from American people. And if you live in the state of Florida, you were really the victim on all of this. But there's a massive effort to try to correct the issue. And those over America First Legal are looking to do just that. They just recently filed a lawsuit, and it's on behalf of several Florida groups. And they're looking to correct these issues because, again, these issues are really, really bad. I mean, they were trying to use AI to like algorithms to try to count extra people onto their rolls. I mean, it was really, really bad. The way that they were fabricating the numbers, also really bad. They're detailing it all right now. And also, we covered last week at great length about how Senator Jim Banks was going out there and calling all of this out when he was uncovering all of the theft that was included in all of this. So joining me now to discuss is former Congressman Madison Cawthorn. He is running for Congress again in this great state of Florida. And so it's exciting to have him on the show because he understands the theft of, well, that the left has been trying to do for quite some time now, and it's great to have him on the program. So welcome to the show. I want to talk a little bit about the census because this is an issue that's not getting enough coverage. You know, we saw how they were trying to inflate the numbers of residents living in nursing homes and dormitories on the left, and now they've been able to successfully steal House seats. So your reaction to the fact that AFL is now suing over the matter?
Well, Brianna, let me tell you, it's not just that they're trying to steal Republican seats. It's also that they're stealing literal dollars from the federal government that go to these states. Also, it is just a ridiculous way to try and circumvent what they call democracy, even though we know it, that we live in a republic. But they're trying to circumvent the ability for people to have actual representation in the U.S. House. It should be representative of how many people you have inside of your state, not representative of how creative these Democrat ridiculous socialists are capable of making things look by counting illegal aliens who shouldn't be in our country to begin with and definitely should not have any form of a voice in who gets to represent us. We've lost so many red seats. It's the only reason the Democrats are competitive in the House.
Yeah, well, let's talk about Florida for a bit because everyone's hyper-focused on that because they've been the real victims in all of this. How has the 2020 census affected Florida?
So when you start looking at it, when they came in to count this, obviously you talked about how they were using AI algorithms. They were trying to overcompensate how many people were voted inside of nursing homes, inside of dormitories. But also they worked very hard to make sure that illegal aliens were allowed to be counted inside of this. They were going to house saying how many people live in this home. Then they'd write down how you live in that home. Then they would move on. And obviously, when the illegal aliens are here, many times they'll only live with one legal resident and they'll pack those houses with tons and tons of people. So we've seen the theft of, I think, maybe one, possibly two to three U.S. House seats from the state of Florida, which is a terrible thing. And Governor Ron DeSantis has been really front and center trying to make sure that we have as many red seats as we can have here in the state of Florida. But this is why I'm so thankful that President Trump is being so aggressive when he's going after illegal aliens. I think that it should be even more aggressive. I think we should be getting rid of everybody that's coming into our country that isn't coming through legal means. I would also support, you know, an immigration moratorium until we get all of this sorted out. But people don't understand that there are such narrow margins when it comes to what happens in the U.S. House. You know, there's 435 seats, and it's just based on a simple majority for almost any law to get passed through the House, any bill. And so when you start looking at, oh, well, maybe you just lost two seats, maybe you lost three seats, and that happens all across the country, but here in the state of Florida, when you lose that many seats, that can be the difference between having Nancy Pelosi or Hakeem Jeffries leading the House or having an America First patriot who wants to fight for us.
Yeah, and also, I mean, I think people were paying attention in Texas when Texas was redrawing their congressional maps, and now Florida is on board with all of this. Democrats, though, say that this is a theft of the election process and actually think it's discriminatory. But why would you defend that on your behalf? I guess I should say, why do you defend that?
The reason I defend it is because, listen, if you start looking at all of these blue states that are all around the country, you start seeing how ridiculously gerrymandered they are. And I don't really think that Texas and Florida are trying to gerrymander their districts. I think they're just trying to make it representative of the people that they have. If there are more Republicans in this state than there are Democrats, then absolutely we should have significantly more seats than the other side. You can see what Mark Elias tries doing when he starts trying to literally steal a presidential election. Mark Elias also quarterbacked an effort to try and get me kicked off the ballot in 2022, saying that I was an insurrectionist, quoting some Civil War doctrine that was created for Civil War generals and officers so that they couldn't be in the House. And that's what they tried to do. So when they're trying to say, oh, well, we don't like the fact that you're now only trying to count citizens inside of the U.S. Census, I just call it doesn't pass the sniff test. It's nothing but BS. These people are evil. They hate you. And so whenever they're trying to say, take the moral high ground, saying, oh, you're trying to circumvent the election process, just remember what they did to us in 2020 and what they've been doing to us for decades. Until we had President Trump, no one was calling this out. But trust me, they've been doing this probably since the 1960s.
Yeah, and it's great to see Republicans pushing back finally, because this was an issue that was going on for a very long time and there wasn't really much pushback. Again, he's been the only one really leading the way on that issue, so it's exciting to see. Speaking of that, I think President Trump deserves a lot of credit, because we're going to listen to clip 20 in just a moment. But President Trump has been absolutely massive in the pushback against the left-wing violence that we've seen in this country for over the last few years. I mean, they have just become completely radicalized, and they're using it as a way to, I guess, to try to target conservatives, but also intimidate us. Let's take a listen to what President Trump just said moments ago.
It should be clear to all Americans that we have a very serious left-wing terror threat in our country. Radicals associated with the domestic terror group Antifa, that you've heard a lot about lately, and I've heard a lot about them for 10 years. And other far-left extremists have been carrying out a campaign of violence against ICE agents and other officials charged with enforcing federal law.
All right, so let's just be clear. That was yesterday, by the way, when he made those comments. But he has been one of the very few people willing to call it out. And it's become increasingly worse, this violence from those on the left. Who do you blame in all of this? Because Democrats seem to shift the blame when they're confronted with it.
Listen, I blame the left-wing radicals, and I especially blame higher education. You know, if you start looking at recent polling numbers on what political side thinks that violence is an answer to your political woes, the Democrats come out significantly higher on who I think it's almost 13 to 25% of them think that violence is an acceptable answer for disagreements. Also, this is just something that has been going on for a lot longer than people realize. I remember back in, I believe, 2021, Antifa came to my home. They cut little heads out of my campaign signs and put blood down saying, you're next, on my driveway, trying to threaten and intimidate me. But unfortunately for them, Republicans in this generation, we don't back down. We're not afraid of a fight. And they are now registered as a domestic terror organization. They should be hunted down and taken out in every single way that we can. I apologize, ma'am.
Okay.
when we start thinking about what's going on, I mean, we're watching literal asymmetric warfare, civil warfare being carried out all across this country. And now, they're talking about asymmetric warfare, it's when one side is using unusual means. We've seen this starting to escalate ever since from the summer of love with the George Floyd riots, who should never have been venerated, should never have been celebrated, someone who had an overdose and died while in police custody. They went to war against left-wing cities, started burning down all of these city centers around the country. And now it has culminated in them continuing to ratchet up the pressure, saying that we're fascists, saying that we're trying to overthrow the government, saying that we're violent extremists, all the way to the point that they shot Charlie Kirk because they disagreed with him, because he was effective. And trust me, Charlie Kirk is a moderate compared to the majority of young conservatives in this country. And so if they are willing to shoot him for his beliefs, I promise they're willing to kill you and I. It's time for us to fight back as far as we can.
Yeah, no, it is time for us to fight back, because for a very long time, we've kind of just allowed this to happen, and it's unacceptable behavior. And the Charlie Kirk assassination should have woken up most of this country at this point. So yeah, I totally agree on that front. Before you go, though, I wanted to ask you about this, because Nick Sorter, he has a show on this network, and it was very upsetting to see him getting assaulted multiple times by Antifa in Portland. But most importantly, he was arrested. And we're learning more and more about potentially how the police department, how they're now being accused of going after, and particularly going after Nick and having him arrested. Let's take a listen to how Nick details all of this in clip 21.
We're trying to figure out who gave the order, because the police that actually arrested me had no idea what was going on. It took them almost an hour to find out what my charges even were. So, I don't think that they were in on it. I think that they were put in a bad situation as well. Mm-hmm. They were taking orders from somebody higher up, but who that person is to be determined. You know, these people are out there every night screaming, burning things, vandalizing property, assaulting officers, and they are hardly ever arrested. But the day that I get there, a conservative media personality with a camera, I'm the one that gets arrested. And even the DA out there is saying that I should have never been arrested. You know, something stinks out there in Portland. Like, I went out there to expose the police department and the fact that they're allowing their city mm-hmm. to turn into a terrorist hellhole almost, but run by Antifa. And they made my job a hell of a lot easier by arresting me at this point, because they've exposed themselves. Millions and millions of people are now paying attention to this story out there in Portland.
Well, it's a heck of a story that you've got to tell, and I know you've been telling it to the president in the next few minutes. I know that you've got to get inside the White House, so we'll let you do that.
All right, so it's great, obviously, to see Nick talking about all of this, but Portland police have a lot of questions that need to be answered. What was your reaction when you saw what happened with Nick, him getting arrested? Because when an independent journalist is arrested for doing his job, and he's also assaulted several times, on our end, we're deeply concerned. But what were your thoughts about the footage?
Listen, well, first off, we have to think back to when Nick Sorter ran out and saved that American flag mm-hmm. from being burnt. That was a heroic move that he knew was probably going to draw a lot of negative attention, but he was willing to do it because he loves his country. Nick is a patriot. And so to see people trying to silence his First Amendment right to be able to go out and document what's going on, to speak out against the radical violence that's going on in this country, to see them trying to actually silence them, to use government force to take them on, that's exactly what, I mean, as everyone since Rush Limbaugh to Charlie Kirk to President Trump to people like you, to people like me, we have been warning this is the direction the left is going in for a very long time. The left does not care about open debate. They only care about open debate when they think that they have the facts on their side. But now that we've become organized, we've become shrewd, we're willing to fight back, they don't want to have open debate. They don't want to take us on policy and issues. You saw this during the 2024 election when they refused to start doing debates because they knew they were going to lose. Now, the problem is when you stop being able to use the First Amendment to be able to discuss our issues that's going on, that's when violence starts occurring. And we have got to stay away from having kinetic force draw out inside this country. It would be terrible. And so that's why we're calling on the radical left-wing Democrats to start being willing to have a conversation, be willing to have an open debate. Sure, you're going to lose because your side's idiotic and stupid, but at least it's a better alternative instead of having left-wing radicals order their Gestapo to go and start arresting journalists. That is what terrible, terrible dictator states start doing. And listen, I don't blame most of the rank and file police, even as Nick Sorter was starting to state inside of his interview. He doesn't think that the police officers even knew what was going on. This is a top-down issue. When we start looking at Democratic leadership, realize they don't have any values. Their only value is attaining power. They'll do it by any means necessary, even if that means arresting journalists. And so, Brianna, that even starts calling out people in your profession to start being worried that these people are going to start coming for you. And I know that you're aware of that, but I feel like too many people on the right and the older generation don't understand what's going on. You know, they often say, we don't want to rock the boat too much. We don't want to be too aggressive. The boat is sinking. They're currently arresting journalists as we speak. They're resorting to violence. And if you start trying to call out that violence, they'll arrest you for it. That is the message that we're getting from Portland. And that is the message that needs to resonate with the Republicans all across this country.
Yeah, we saw Barack Obama spying on journalists during his time in the White House. And we also saw Joe Biden going after journalists as well, trying to find out who their sources were. So again, this is a major issue. And if we continue to allow it, it will only get increasingly worse. So we're hopeful that Nick is about to set the tone on all of this and push back. And we're excited that President Trump, even having this roundtable, will instill some fear into these people who want to prevent independent journalists from doing their job. But speaking of that, you know, before you go, I wanted to talk to you because about specifically your announcement that you made earlier this month. You announced that you're running for Congress in the 19th Florida Congressional District, which is obviously held currently by Byron Donalds. You are looking to represent those great people over there. I loved going over there to see the table, to all of those great business owners over there and talking and meeting with them. It's an incredible district. Why did you throw your hat into this race, though?
Well, listen, I moved here several years ago, been here almost half a decade. I love this area. And, you know, I've got some major issues that I want to tackle. You know, one is really much, very much so a national issue. Because of the violence we're starting to see and because of the extremism we're starting to see come out of the left-wing radicals, I think that we need to be so shrewd and aggressive. We need to pull these people out root and stem. Their ideology needs to be systematically targeted and completely destroyed. We need to show how morally and intellectually bankrupt it is so that people in these blue hellholes inside of these cities all around this country are starting to say, wait a minute, these people are evil. These people don't represent me. We need to get them out of power. And then you're not going to have radical stuff happening like trying to miscount a census so you can circumvent the American people's voices. You know, after that, I really want to tackle home prices in this country. I think if we go after the EPA for their ridiculous mandates that they have on home building products, we could bring the cost of building homes down. And then after that, you know, I'm majority, I would say I'm about 60% of conservative, then about 40% of populist. And so I believe in conservative doctrine, but I'm willing to go outside of conservative doctrine to make sure this economy works for the American people and for people in my generation. So many people have been absolutely pushed out of being able to own a home inside of this country. And one of those reasons is because flood insurance is so ridiculously high here in the state of Florida. Insurance across this country is so ridiculously high. There's a couple reasons for that. One is because we don't allow real competition in the insurance market, whether that's healthcare or whether that's home insurance. But also in places like the state of Florida, where flood insurance is so ridiculously high, and that's because we have so many outrageous storms that hit this area all the time. And now you and I both know that probably those storms are caused instead of just naturally occurring. But I believe that with what's going on, we need to have some kind of a tax rebate that goes back to American citizens so they can afford to own homes inside of our beautiful states, places like Florida here in Southwest Florida.
Yeah, I mean, Madison, I'm glad you're calling that out because I lived in Florida for, I think, 6 years. And anytime it rained, the sewage would always clog up instantly and it would create all these floods. And I'm like, at what point do we say we've got a lot of issues here? And it's not a natural occurrence when it comes to bad sewage and other features as well, thanks to the government. So again, yeah, I would say that this is a big issue and it's one worth fighting for because so many people who live in Florida are really upset with the insurance issue right now because insurance companies are fleeing the state. And I understand why. I understand both sides of it. So we're excited to see you in this fight. I want to thank you for joining the program today. We wish you the very best and we look forward to possibly having you soon back on the show. So thank you for joining us today.
Absolutely, Brianna. Thank you so much. And thanks for fighting for this country. Have a great one.
Thank you. And thank you as well. We're excited to have you hopefully back in D.C. fighting for this country. I think, though, you are the clear winner, my friend. So thank you so much.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next.
You are beyond insane. If you don't support us, if you don't support this broadcast, I mean, I'm being honest, it's like jumping out of an airplane without a parachute. It's like going into the Sahara Desert without a canteen of water. It's like sticking your wiener, you know, in somebody that's got 14 diseases without a condom. Sorry for the gross thing. The point is, shouldn't do it anyways. Huh? The point is that I need your support. And I'm only going to sell you stuff that works really great. Like I said, I've opened a restaurant to be the best food, best prices, best atmosphere, quality service, because I want you to come in 1,000 times. I want a relationship with you. The products are insane. Ultramethylene blue, the Shilajit, the Irish sea moss, the bovine colostrum, not a sexy name, but what it does for your hair, skin, and whole body, everything else is insanely good. And we got the biggest sale in the history of the AlexJonesStore.com right now, running until Friday. Black Friday comes early. Buy any supplement. You can buy a supplement that costs $20 and then get a $40 supplement for free. It's not just buy one, get another free of the same thing. We've done that quite a few times. This is buy any supplement, get any other one free. All the new designs, all the new apparel in, the biggest selection of Patriot apparel in the world. Now 670-something designs, ball caps, you name it. 25% off on all that and a bunch of other insane sales. If you're a VIP, you get $40 to spend in the store each month. Special deals, special offers. Anybody, anything should be a VIP. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Cry havoc and let loose the dogs of war. Share the live feeds. You are the backers of this operation. You are the InfoWar. So go now to InfoWarStore.com, where we got probably the final shipment of the highest quality fish oil and the highest quality turmeric, Body's Ultimate Turmeric, 95% cumanoid. Those are both 40% off. I want to thank you all for your past support, but you've invested in this operation. It's paid off in global awakening. It's been so incredible. Thank you so much for being at the heart of this operation. So I ask all of our family members in the InfoWar, all of our team members, all of the emissaries, all the ambassadors of freedom against the globalists, that now at the thick of the battle, as you see it peaking and peaking and peaking, just as I've said, I don't come out here and talk about civil war and their plans for insurrection and their plans for military coups just to sound scary. And then now they're openly calling for it. U.S. senators, members of Congress, CIA, because we're beating them. And it's the last move they've got. We're also going to add a link at InfoWarsStore.com today. You can make straight donations on there so that we get all the money and we can get past the shortfall. So I don't want to spend our valuable time on this.
The truth is just a tap away. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the Alex Jones app, available now on Google Play and the Apple App Store. Stream the latest shows, stay up to date with breaking news, and support free speech with every click. Grab your t-shirts, hats, supplements, and more, all inside the app. Don't wait. Download the Alex Jones app today and join the fight for freedom.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited that you're all joining us today. A lot happening all around the country. A lot of corruption. A lot of, let's just say, deep state operatives are being called out today, and it is my honor to do just that. We're learning more, obviously, about Arctic Frost and in the first portion of the show. I almost let an F-bomb slip. That's how fired up I got. But we're going to calm things down a little bit now as we dive into the big scam, which was Joe Biden winning the first election. Obviously, they claimed he won back in 2020. But the worst of it is we're now learning that those close to Joe Biden were actually being paid. And they were given the incentive. If Joe Biden was reelected back into the White House, they were promised $4 million. That's what one aide is talking about now. And that includes a base salary of $4 billion. So that includes what, $8 million just for getting a warm body back into the White House? But don't take my word for it. In clip 14, You were going to hear from a gentleman who was apparently a very close aide to Joe Biden. Mike Donilon is the individual who you hear in this video admitting, well, because he asked and now he's under oath, admitting to getting potentially a $4 million bonus if Joe Biden was reelected to the White House. Take a listen.
Were there any circumstances in which you would have received a bonus?
Yes, there was.
What were those circumstances?
That Joe Biden would have been reelected president of the United States.
What was the bonus of Ben?
I believe it would have been $4 million.
In addition to the $4 million that you were already paid?
Yes.
Did you hear that? That's $8 million. I wonder who's paying all that money. I'm sure it was a donor of some sort or someone who probably hates this country and wanted to see our demise. No surprise here, folks. No surprise at all. Joining me is probably someone else who is not very surprised. Please welcome to the show, Mr. Chad Prather. He's host of the Chad Prather Show, and he is a great friend of mine, of course, and a great follow over on X. You can follow him at Watch Chad. Chad, welcome to the program. I'm fired up today. So it's an honor to have you on the show. It looks like everyone was getting paid to push Joe Biden back into the White House, to prop him up, make it look like he was a functioning human being, and then get him back in there. $4 million is quite the great bonus, I must say.
It's not bad for a public servant. You and I picked the wrong job. But here's the kicker. So when he admits that there's another $4 million waiting for him if Biden wins the reelection, that's a guarantee. I mean, that's what he called it, a guarantee by a campaign. People need to let that sink in. You can almost hear the champagne bottles clinking in the background of a promise like that. $8 million on the line. All you had to do was help a failing president look alive long enough to cross a finish line. I'm telling you, that's desperation wrapped in a bonus check. That's not public service. That's prize fighting for power. I mean, when you got a paycheck that depends on a candidate's pulse, you'd prop up a corpse if you have to. I mean, I'll write speeches that it's ridiculous. Like, I would have made Joe Biden look like Jesus' second coming for $8 million. I mean, this guy's stumbling over sandbags and reading the wrong things on the teleprompter, and all I got to do is make him feel relatable for $8 million? It's Weekend at Bernie's times two, baby.
Well, I think that's what they were doing behind the scenes. I mean, they even gave him that little fake White House or the Oval Office room where they're having him sign these fake these fake bills and then the executive orders. I mean, it was absolute garbage that they were trying to feed the American people. And, you know, Chad, before you came on, we were listening to some of the testimony that's been given from a lot of his staffers, Joe Biden's staffers, who are like, oh, no, he was fine. I maybe saw a couple of little signs here and there. But I mean, he was functioning. He was a warm body. I mean, what the heck comes next after all of this? Because they sat there for 4 years. And I mean, we didn't lie to the American people. We told our audience that he was barely breathing at this point. But the rest of them, I mean, they propped him up every day and made it seem like he was some type of world leader.
Well, they continually pull back the curtain and show us what they're doing behind the scenes, who's pulling the puppet strings. But think about, to your point, what this does to the inner circle. When everybody around the president is financially rewarded only if the illusion holds up. And, you know, who's going to tell the truth in that case? You know, who's going to look the public in the eye and say, you know, this guy's a warm body? Who's going to look at the president and say, sir, it's time to step down? Nobody, because honesty doesn't have a bonus structure. Spin does. Loyalty does. Denial pays better than discernment. So when we're as a country watching Joe Biden fumble through these sentences and forget where he was, the media is going to tell us he's sharp as ever. He's virile. He's competent. You know, Karine Jean-Pierre said, I can barely keep up with the president. It just looks like he was going to, you know, break out and run at some point. That's not just bad journalism. It's financial self-preservation. So people had actual skin in the game, and it's not just a little bit of money, millions of dollars. So we're not, and they said we were the threat to democracy. This is a pyramid scheme of power.
Yeah, it was. And you know, KJP was one of the main characters behind all of this, pushing it, even calling it cheap fakes when you actually physically saw a video of the president stumbling, the president falling, or unable to remember who he even was. She would say that it was a fake video, and she often did that. And she was grilled about it during her testimony. And she said, well, I mean, maybe some of it was real. I don't really know. It's like, lady, it's very easy to tell if it's a real video or not. You were just intentionally trying to mislead the American people. But, you know, AG Pamponi yesterday, when she was watching all this stuff drop yesterday regarding Arctic Frost and Joe Biden's mental health and everything was coming once yesterday. She tweeted out that my team has already initiated a review of the Biden administration's use of AutoPen for pardons. A lot of these pardons, Chad, were so disgusting. I mean, he pulled, or whoever was operating the AutoPen, pulled individuals off of death row who had committed heinous crimes without even consulting with the victims' families to see if they were okay with all of this. They also freed a CCP, in my beliefs, a CCP spy who was in custody. I mean, he was literally in custody for having over 40,000 child pornographic images on his device, and they commuted his sentence and sent him back over to China. What do you think is going to happen here? Because a lot of this can't be undone.
No, a lot of it can't be undone. And I hope something does happen. And I do hope that AG Bondi, who disappoints me consistently, will do something about this that is tangible. You know, this is a bad situation. I think Joe Biden, honestly, probably the only pardon that he had the wherewithal to actually put his stamp of approval on was his son, Hunter Biden's. The rest of it, I don't think the guy, you know, this is a guy who didn't know how to tweet. Like, he didn't even know his passwords to his own X account. So there's no way you could tell me that he could commute all of these sentences or let these people off. I mean, we're talking about people on death row to pedophiles. You know, the J6 committee, these are some really bad individuals who lied to the American people. And, you know, they want to call it public service. But when you get to a situation where the public is being served last, that's what happens. You can wave the flag, talk about saving democracy, and pad contracts and pay your, you know, the folks on your inner circle. You can do the auto pen. You can let your aides run the country. This was literally a situation where our country was on autopilot and the captain was dead in the cockpit and nobody wanted to talk about that. So I hope something gets done about this. It's time for some tangible results when it comes to this Department of Justice.
Yeah, and that's what we're all waiting on. Nobody wants to sit back and continue to watch this unravel and go, oh, wow, that's so shocking. Oh, that's so shocking. And then nothing happens. I mean, we're far into this right now. We still haven't seen a single Democrat from the Obama-Biden regime arrested. And I've got a countdown going at this point. So I don't know how much longer we could tolerate this anymore. I mean, I'm just asking for one. They gave us like three little ones, but they had nothing to do with really, I would say, nothing to do with the Biden-Obama regime. And they were the safest ones to go after because, again, they weren't Democrats. They weren't aligned with them from the beginning. So those were easy catches so far. But I want to shift gears a little bit because this one gave you probably a good cackle. But the individual who is responsible for Tina Peters being in prison right now, who is the Secretary of State over in Colorado, Jenna Griswold, is coming out here and she's making some outlandish conspiracy theories of her own, saying that President Trump tried to steal the 2020 election. Now, she's not questioned as to what evidence she has of that, of course, but she's claiming that the president tried to steal the 2020 election. And she says it with a straight face in clip 15. Take a listen.
We have a sitting president trying to undermine democratic norms and attack our institutions on a near daily basis. But I can say with confidence, our elections and our systems have held strong. And as Secretary of State, I've increased their resilience. It is now a felony to access in an unauthorized basis voting equipment. And we've caught someone, Tina Peters, who is now serving 9 years of imprisonment because she tried to mess around with voting equipment in the state of Colorado.
What are you going to do if there are troops on the street at at polling places?
It's unfortunate that we have to plan for these scenarios, but as Secretary Benson of Michigan said, we had already planned for these scenarios in 2020. A lot of the worst case scenarios that you can think of, Democratic secretaries of state have been planning contingencies since 2019 in preparation for the 2020 election. Look, Donald Trump and his allies are more sophisticated. Trump tried to steal the election in 2020 through lies. Didn't work. He then incited the insurrection. It didn't work. Him and his MAGA allies have learned from their failures. But we're more sophisticated also. The American people are ready to go. We need the American people to stay in this fight. This isn't Republican versus Democrat. This is folks who believe in rule of law, in democracy, and our election standing firm against this assault on our nation. I'm staying in this fight. I'll always fight to protect our democracy. That's a large part why I'm running for attorney general in Colorado.
Yeah, Chad. So she goes and makes these baseless claims that the president was trying to steal the election. He's going to do just that this time around. And it's fear-mongering at best. But You know, I know a couple of companies that were sued for over $1 billion for making allegations against voting machine companies. And I would say those who also just questioned the fact that they claimed that Joe Biden won the elections, that they were shunned as conspiracy theorists, as people who were cooking up lies just to fearmonger to their base. So there's a lot here that I'd like to dive into. Does she face possible civil lawsuits in all of this now that she's, I mean, I know you're not an attorney, but should she face some type of like civil retaliation for going after President Trump and claiming that he tried to steal the 2020 election?
I mean, that seems to be the pattern, right? I mean, isn't that what everybody had to deal with? That's the whole problem. First of all, some people should not be in front of a camera. Jenna Griswold, it's always in the eyes, Brianna. It's always in the eyes. You can see the crazy. But the irony is rich. You got Jenna Griswold, the same woman that conveniently leaked passwords to the voting machines and is going to scramble to cover it up, and now wants to play the moral referee. It's like the arsonist calling the fireman dangerous for carrying a hose. What Tina Peters did was expose vulnerabilities. What Jenna did was create them. And that's the problem in this country right now. You got the truth tellers that get raided while the bureaucrats that mishandle the people's trust get booked deals and primetime interviews like this one. So if you're genuinely concerned about election integrity, you don't silence the whistleblowers, you fix the system. But that's not what this administration or any administration ever seems to do. They criminalize the dissent. They call patriotism interference. They turn every act of accountability into a dang felony. So if we're handing out orange jumpsuits for messing around with election equipment, maybe Jenna should take a long look in the mirror with her crazy eyes before she starts pointing fingers. Because the American people aren't blind to this. We're pissed off and we're sick of it. They can see who's protecting the truth and who's trying to bury it under political theater. And that's all this is.
Yeah, and it's interesting, right? Because Tina Peters, I know a lot of people are advocating for President Trump to pardon her, but they can't because she's charged on a state level. And so I'd like to see the administration to try to pull funding from them, because what they've done to Tina Peters is absolutely egregious. And she tried her very best to blow the whistle on the internal corruption that she was witnessing during her time, obviously, running the Colorado elections. And they tried to, again, discredit her by going after her and charging her and now putting her in prison for over 9 years, I believe it is. And
9 years?
Yeah, she's a sick woman. I mean, like, not like a sick woman in that sense, but her health isn't the best. She's a patriot. Her son was obviously served in the military, passed away. He died. He's their Gold Star family. I mean, this is insane that we've done this much to her. There needs to be more of a push. And I just think Griswold belongs in prison at this point. But let's shift gears a little bit. Yep. Since you've got an eye for crazy, I wanted to talk to you about this one before we head on out. You've been sounding off regarding those who are taking to Twitter, taking to X, taking to TikTok, because they're fired up. They're really angry, Chad, about their food stamps getting cut off, and they're making threats. Take a listen to clip 16, because all the crazies are getting ready to become criminals or to continue their criminal behavior, whatever it is. Take a listen.
And baby, y'all out here playing. Little do y'all know, we is in a real life mother recession. We are going through a struggle around here. But like, nobody is not understanding that. It's not clicking in nobody. Trump trying to talk about the food stamp. And I don't know what you bitches gonna do, because you bitches have kids.
A lot of people ain't gonna keep it real, but a lot of our parents got stamps. My mom has 7 kids, so she got stamps or whatever. And I didn't see her selling them. She did the best she could with what she had. And we always had food. So when I got stamps, I'm like, okay, it's okay to get them or whatever. But I did live in fear of, if I work a job or anything like that, I'm gonna lose my food stamps.
Why the fuck I just seen some that said Walmart gonna be closed, all we could do is curbside? We don't give a bitch. Walmart not the only grocery store, you dumb assholes. Still looting, still stealing. Trump, it's crazy.
So y'all, I'm just thinking, I gotta come up with a master plan. They didn't cut my food stamps. I'm down to my last pack of noodles and 2 bars of soap. Something gotta shake. I'm just trying to see when we going to get the groceries. I'm thinking tomorrow a good day. We can start tomorrow. I got a route for this. We going to start that bitch off in New Temple. We going to run that bitch through Wesley Chapel. Swing that bitch down, Bruce B. Down. We going to gas up in the city. We ain't going to with the city, because if we with the city, them hoes going to be ready to die about that shit. So we going to leave them alone.
And as someone who has never been approved for food stamps, I'm not going to lie, I'm actually happy for this food stamps cut. And it's not for the reasons that you think. It's not because I'm like a hater and I'm upset that people are getting like free stuff. No, I just can't wait for the looting. Yeah. Because for someone, as someone who is not on food stamps and you have to constantly pay for these expensive groceries, I'm tired. I'm sick of it. Like, I just can't wait for the looting.
Nobody is abusing food stamps. You can't abuse food stamps. That's like stealing from Darth Vader. Nobody cares.
They're taking away food stamps because they want people to commit crimes. They're not hiring people. They're not giving people jobs because they want them to join the military and the police force. They're using Bad Bunny as a headliner for the Super Bowl to mass arrest Hispanic people, citizens or not. The government is shut down so that you don't hold them accountable. Hope this helps.
That helped you, because I, for one, didn't understand. I love this video, Chad, by the way, of Alex Jones. And this is going to be you once these EBTs get cut off, just relaxing, chilling out. Yeah, I mean, if you shop at Walmart for your groceries, there's probably going to be less obese individuals wearing tank tops. And I mean, it looks like sports bras sometimes on them. So that's the one good thing about all of this. But, you know, they're threatening violence. They're threatening to go out there and start robbing these supermarkets. I mean, what the heck's going on here, Chad?
Well, I've caught a lot of hell for it. I keep laughing at it. Nobody misses nail or weave day on these things. You can't get that on food stamps, but somehow they're making sure that those are done. You know, here's the thing. People come at me because they say, well, aren't you a Christian? You know, don't you want to love your neighbor? Listen, what we've done is we've traded personal responsibility for a political pity party and call that loving your neighbor. Nobody's laughing at people who are struggling. We're laughing at the system that profits off keeping people that way. We've built an economy where people are told to stay poor, stay quiet, vote blue if they want their benefits to keep coming. That's not compassion. That's absolute control. So the same government that can't balance the checkbooks writing the spiritual checks in Jesus' name, and people are cashing them at the window of entitlement. And then someone says, hey, maybe freedom's a better long-term plan than food stamps. And suddenly I'm the bad guy. So let me remind you, Jesus said, feed the hungry, not fund the bureaucracy that keeps them hungry. We didn't hand out a permanent disability card and said, see you next election cycle. So these people want to threaten their violence and all this. Listen, what about our service members? Well, service members rely on these programs, don't they? Well, you're right, and that's the bigger scandal. We spend billions on foreign wars and gender studies in Pakistan, but can't make sure our veterans can afford groceries without government coupons. I mean, don't aim the outrage at me. Aim it at the clowns in Washington who made the warriors beg for bread, and that's on the Democrats, if you ask me, and that's also in their voting records. So the moral high ground isn't mocking the poor. It's demanding a system that lifts them up instead of chaining them to welfare checks. And that's exactly what these people are bitching about. So, again, real love isn't measured in how long we can keep people dependent. It's measured in how far we can help them rise. And that's up to personal responsibility and not up to the government to be my compassion plan. So I'm not apologizing for saying the quiet parts out loud, man. And I'm going to mock these people and ridicule them because they just made a video and said they're coming for my stuff. Well, good luck with that.
Good luck with that. Yeah, they're not coming for my stuff. Good luck with that. I've got attack Pomeranians that will bite your ankles if you come for my things.
So you better... I've seen them.
They're vicious. They're vicious, those dogs. Chad Prather, thank you for joining us again, folks. He's the host of the Chad Prather Show. And give him a follow over on X, @WatchChad. Chad, you do a great job every day, so we appreciate you joining us. Thank you, as always, my friend.
Thanks, Brianna.
All right, folks, let's keep digging into the shutdown, because the shutdown's got a lot of people fired up. A judge yesterday, of course, it's a federal judge in San Francisco, says President Trump can't fire government employees. They're saying the thousands of federal employees that he's potentially going to be dismissing, he can't do it. Now, obviously, as you guys know, the federal courts, the judges, the liberal judges, they obviously outrank the president of the United States. No, they don't. Obviously, it's going to get challenged, tossed out. But of course, this is what they're doing. The ruling is, again, meant to stop the president from using these government shutdowns to downsize the federal government. Why not? Democrats don't want to come to the table and reopen the government. You might as well get rid of all of these government employees because, newsflash, a lot of them are Dems themselves. They continue to vote for these policies. You voted for these scumbags, lose your job. I like it. I think it's a great policy. I could support it as we approach day 28, as we're in day 28, I should say, of the shutdown. Now, again, I don't really notice much, but if you're somebody who's a government employee, if you're somebody who serves in our military, then yeah, you probably notice a little bit of an issue here with your paychecks. I'm all for paying our military at this point. We should be able to shuffle around some things and make sure to do that. I'm also for paying our ICE agents as well, those who are fighting to keep the homeland secure, everyone else. Blame your Dems. It all falls on them. But when it comes to the food stamps that are being pulled as well, California and other state AGs, they're not very happy about it. In fact, they've just filed a lawsuit as of yesterday to go after the USDA for cutting those fundings. Now, apparently they're saying that there's some type of emergency funds that could be utilized for this to prevent this from happening. But the USDA is not doing just that. Take a listen to clip 6, because this is Brooke Rollins, who's obviously in charge of the USDA, sounding off on the issue.
USDA does not have the $9.2 billion that it would require. There's not just pots of $9.2 billion sitting around. And what's particularly rich about New York saying that, or California, or any of these other blue states that have filed the lawsuit that say, oh no, we're going to go, you guys, USDA, go find the money, is it's their very friends, partners, colleagues, Democrat elected officials that continue to vote over and over again to keep the government closed. Again, shame on them. I cannot begin to understand what they're thinking. Even their own union, right? Even their own federal government employee union, I don't know the exact name, is urging their own Democratic leaders to open the government back up. Listen, Chuck Schumer's getting paid. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is getting paid, but our air traffic controllers not getting paid. Our food stamp recipients are not going to get their benefit beginning Saturday. Our law enforcement, those that are keeping us safe, not getting paid. It's just, it's unbelievable. And I've never seen anything like this. It's surely they're going to change their mind and vote to open any day now.
Well, one would hope. There's many who are predicting that this is going to last through November, because Democrats, again, are holding the line to make sure that their illegal aliens get some type of health insurance. Things are getting really bad. We're going to toss it over to a break in a little bit, but when we come back, I'm going to play Jake Tapper, even defending the common sense angle to all of this and preventing Democrats from using this moment to attack Republicans. Again, I mean, I don't think either side is great, okay? But the reality of it is there's only one side that still will not come to the middle, come to these logical standpoints, and sign off on spending that does not include illegal aliens. And that side's Democrats. And it's very obvious. And when you ask Democrats, well, what are you still holding out for? They can't tell you what they're still holding out for, because they don't want you to know that it's illegal aliens. Yeah, they keep saying, we believe in healthcare for all people. People? What kind of people? Can't tell you that, though, of course. Folks, we've got a lot happening in the next hour of the show, so do not go anywhere. I've got an arsenal of fraud and corruption to expose in just a few moments. In the meantime, though, head on over to alexjonesapp.com. If you haven't done so already, download the app. Stay in touch with us, because you never know when those front doors are going to lock. This is how we stay in touch. So head on over, download the app if you haven't done so already. When you do just that, we're going to give you a gift, 20% off to use over at thealexjonesstore.com. You could use that promo code. It's an exclusive. Of course, when you download the app, you could use that promo code over at the shop to grab some of your favorite items. And yesterday we announced the launch of Methylene Red. So for someone who's looking to get on the tip-top shape when it comes to brain health, this is what you're going to want to snag over at the store. So head on over to the alexjonesstore.com to grab yourself some Methylene Red right now. With perfect pair up with the blue, of course. And this is a must-have. So do just that. I'll be right back with more corruption to expose.
Real quick, I just wanted to plug the Methylene Blue. I'm a new supplement buyer from Alex Jones Store, and I keep hearing people talking about the Methylene Blue, and I'm like, you know what? I don't know what the hype is all about, but I definitely want to try it. And what I noticed is I didn't get the sensations that a lot of the other people said that they got, you know, like the tingling fingers and like this, you know, euphoria. But I do have an ample amount of energy, and I'm disabled, so I'm a housewife, and whenever you're at home, day in and day out, 7 days a week, it really tends to drag after some time. And there were things that I wasn't doing around the house that I should have. But now I'm getting things done like really quick. I have all this extra time on my hands now. And I really think it's the Methylene Blue that's been giving me the energy. And it's so funny because now like my silly husband's calling me a meth head, which is hilarious. But yeah, so I'm going to stick on that. And I actually have some bovine coming in today, so I can't wait to try that out. I'm also going to give that to my dog because, you know, I need a lot of help too. And I've read online that's really good for your dog if you give them like a small little amount of food. So I'm going to do that. But yeah, I just thought I just thought I would tell you guys about my experience with this park. So,
well, Jen, thank you. That's amazing to hear. I mean, love to hear that, honestly. I mean, that's the reason why Alex has created the shop, so people can get, you know, get healthier and not be relying on big pharmaceutical companies, but instead take control of their health. So that's good to hear. You know, I fluctuated weight-wise too. And so finding something that works is really important, and not to get hooked on those like high caffeine, insane chemicals, energy drinks, which so much of us have relied on over the years. I literally was getting anxiety from one of them. And so I too am on the blue these days. So I guess your husband would call me a meth head, but it's good to hear from you, Jen. I love it. I think it's great. And I love to hear from you as well.